Ladies and gentlemen, we're broadcasting worldwide on this Sunday transmission, the 11th day of October.
Obama has decimated the friggin' Constitution. So I don't give a damn, because if he doesn't follow the Constitution, we don't have to.
Who needs that old archaic Constitution and annoying Congress when you can tour the world on the taxpayers' dime and trample their rights in the process? Right, Attorney General Loretta Lynch? No one except your band of cohorts were impressed when you went after a meaningless game as you tackled FIFA instead of throwing the bankers laundering the drug cartel's billions under the jail, kicking the proverbial soccer ball down the road. Rather than present her case to the American people from any number of American establishments, Attorney General Lynch, basking in New World Order arrogance, bypassed the American people, bringing together a vile congregation to the Islamic High Council, the United Nations. Speakers included the diligent socialist mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, who expressed the ominous, "Extremism doesn't discriminate. It comes in many forms. It comes in many different backgrounds and ideologies. Our mission should be to address extremism in all of its forms." And Jordan's High Commissioner for Human Rights, Prince Zayed Raad Al Hussein, a human rights council that just made the xenophobic and brutal nation of Saudi Arabia a member. Writing for Breitbart, Pamela Geller explained, "The United Nations is a Sharia-compliant world body, and Obama, speaking there just days ago, insisted that violent extremism is not exclusive to Islam, which it is. Obama is redefining jihad terror to include everyone but the jihadists. So will the UN, driven largely by Sharia-enforcing Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the OIC, and the pro-Islamic post-American President Obama, use a global police force to crush counter-jihad forces? This global police force was dreamed up by professors in the halls of Oxford and spearheaded by the New World Order think tank, the Institute of Strategic Dialogue, now launched as of September 29th, 2015, by our traitorous government. It is described on the Strong Cities Network website as a global network of local authorities united in building resilience to prevent violent extremism. An international steering committee of cities and local authorities selected from different regions across the globe. Of course, Muslim Americans are complaining they will be targeted. American Thinker writes, "The Strong Cities program has been criticized by the New York Civil Liberties Union and by American Muslim activists, fearful that it will target Muslims. Similar criticisms have been leveled against the Department of Justice Countering Violent Extremism program, notably by the Islamist posing as civil rights group, Council on American Islamic Relations. New York groups like the NYCLU, Association of Muslim American Lawyers, and the Justice League of NYC expressed concern that New York would eventually become active with the Justice Department's Countering Violent Extremism, or CVE, programs, which they say overwhelmingly target Muslim communities. But most Americans know what Shinola looks and smells like, and are well aware of who the real target is." Oath Keepers asks, "What assurances are there that it will be gained in accordance with individual protections mandated in the Bill of Rights? Just what best practices are acceptable? And will the representatives of our people, that would be the Congress, have unfettered oversight of the process? What further protections will there be against foreign law influencing decisions required to comport with the supreme law of the land? Something more than one progressive Supreme Court justice has expressed an interest in considering flexible. President Obama is desperately attempting to decrease the overwhelming amount of gun owners to create a level playing field in which the New World Order can thrive. But it was his own policies and arrogance that led to record numbers of Americans stockpiling guns and ammunition. Obama's latest berserk executive order authority would impose new background check requirements for buyers who purchase weapons from high-volume gun dealers. Under the proposed rule change, dealers who exceed a certain number of sales each year would be required to obtain a license from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and perform background checks on potential buyers. At this point, I'm sure the average American citizen contends that this all sounds completely unreasonable, considering the irony of President Obama's increasingly transparent administration that has blatantly waged war on constitutionally protected whistleblowers, clandestinely grown ISIS, ISIL, or whatever the hell you want to call it, and quietly aided a flood into the United States of anti-American Islamic extremist terror cells. Good luck, America. We're all counting on you. John Bowne for Infowars.com.
We'll be back with the kickoff.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
I am certainly honored to be here yet again with all of you tuning in across the United States and across the planet. Extremely humbled. Thank you for joining us. We are live on this Sunday, the 11th day of October 2015. We'll be here for the next 2 hours, as we are every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then, of course, I will return tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time as well, if the Lord is willing. I want to take a lot of phone calls today, because I didn't take any on Friday. But I also need to get to this news, and there is so much of it. And as the global tyranny of world government comes out in the open, comes out of the shadows, it's going to become more and more ridiculously obvious that these people do not have our best interest at heart and are smashing any semblance of culture, national sovereignty, the family, individualism. It is a conquering of the human species, turning us into a bunch of milling, dumbed down, drugged out, TV head, iPad head gerbils. There's a massive launch after the Second Amendment. We've got the latest developments on that. We've got China asking the world to impose a code of conduct on the internet. That means censorship on the internet. We have the IMF saying Iceland has repaid its remaining $332 million in debt ahead of schedule. Folks might say, why does Iceland matter? I'm going to get to that story and explain why. They were told that they owed $8 billion 7 years ago. They arrested their finance minister and found out that 93% of the debt was not the country's, and that it was less than $1 billion that the people actually owed. Then England, the UK, tried to declare that everyone in Iceland, 400,000 plus people, were terrorists, and that they couldn't get on British Airways flights. That, of course, got defeated in court. So now, 7 years later, they've paid off the remaining $332 million, which is nothing, for basically a city, Reykjavik, where most of them live, of 400,000 people to pay off. Wasn't $8 billion, wasn't $10 billion, was less than $1 billion. Like $800 million if you go back to the time. And now they've paid it off. 90-plus percent of the debt was not theirs, and they had been signed on to mainly British debt. UK debt. And the reason this is important is they're the only country to say no to paying debts that aren't theirs. And that's what globalism is all about. In fact, I said I'd cover it later. I'm covering it right now. They've created the private central banks over 2.2, according to USA Today, probably a lot bigger now. That number is a couple years old. $2.2 quadrillion in derivatives. And they've had every major Western government, from Japan to Canada, the United States to Germany, Australia, Belgium, France, doesn't matter, Western industrialized nations, they've signed us on to it. And it turns out 90, again, there's an algorithm, there's a number, 90-plus percent of it. It varies country by country. Ireland, it's 91% of the debt isn't theirs. In the UK, 92% of the debt isn't theirs. In the United States, 90% of the debt isn't ours. You look this up. It's not our debt, but you see the big mega banks were too big to fail in 2008. They took the stock market down by a third. Everybody panicked. They said, okay, bail us out. But when you bail them out, you're suddenly in debt to them. And they've now enjoyed 8 years of unlimited, free, taxpayer-backed, interest-free money. And they've expanded derivatives since that point. And you have a politically ignorant population. You have a politically inept population. You have a politically illiterate population. They are like lambs to the slaughter. Not understanding this. You can break it down and just search the fact that Greece has no debts when they actually look at what they've already paid. But it doesn't matter. This is how you're conquered by white-collar fraud, where the large five megabanks put their operatives in over a period of time into your government, and both parties, or in the case of Greece or other nations, three or four parties, and then it's game over. They can conquer you financially. And what do these big banks promote? Open borders, a tax on the family, higher taxes, smaller homes, less energy, austerity, that you're poor, you're living hand to mouth, so you can't speak up, so you can't resist, so you can't be uppity and prosperous. And so before I get into all this news, I want to tie it into globalism and the open borders issue. But before I do that, I will cover this later. And I'm on record a month ago when it broke, and I've been on record every week since then, that it would be every major auto manufacturer would be caught faking their emissions testing. It's either that or go out of business, because these rules on the combustion engine are designed to ban the combustion engine. Just like Obama saying when he was running for office 8.5 years ago, not 8.5 years ago, 6.5 years ago, it all blurs together. I guess he was running for office about 8 years ago. He said, we will ban coal power plants. You can build one, but we will bankrupt you. The average person says, I don't own a coal plant. Why do I care? Because that's why your discretionary income's gone down. That's why your power prices in the last 6.5, 7 years have gone up so dramatically, is because they've massively increased the price of everything that deals with transportation, travel, manufacturing, keeping the lights on. That is a tax on everyone, and it was done to make you poor. They even admit that. This is what Agenda 21 is, and there's so much I could sit here and cover today, but just understand that this is turning the lights out. This is making you dependent. This is destroying the prosperity-based economy. And you can demonize the consumer economy. You can demonize the way culture's set up in the sprawling cities. There's plenty of problems with it. But what they're offering is not a fix to it. It's using our dependency to absolutely enslave us, and then not offering real alternatives to build a better civilization while exempting the establishment from it. So here it is in the London Guardian. Four more car makers join diesel emissions row. Scandal. Mercedes-Benz, Honda, Mazda, Mitsubishi cars are shown to emit significant more NOx pollution, NOx pollution, on the road than in regulatory tests. The computers know they're being tested. They kick on in a test mode. And the reason I knew that it would end up being all of them, it's turned out Audi's doing it as well. The reason I knew this is because I know how the globalists operate, and car makers are absolutely in line with the large agenda of globalization. They're turning our cars into little spy bots. They're going to tax us by the mile. All the big automakers go to major conferences. They're secretive, but it comes out in trade publications. All of this has been planned. The Germans at VW, at Volkswagen, would never do that unless the decision had been made and been authorized at the highest levels of global government. I mean, we're already ruled by the TPP they signed last week, and we still can't see a copy of it 2 years into it. I mean, this is world government. And so they wouldn't have done this unless in a global council they were authorized. That's how these people operate, is by consensus to carry out crimes.
Alex.
itself, the whole VW scandal's not that important. But when you understand the mindset, the logic of the globalist, through this particular story, you can see a wider horizon and a wider spectrum. That's how we were able to predict that a bunch of other automakers would be caught basically with the exact same software program, which they now claim, we have a clip, accidentally fell into the software of the car. Just like black boxes worldwide in all new cars manufactured for the last decade have black boxes to track you by the mile and then to wirelessly start taxing you by the mile as soon as governments decide to turn it on. I told you about that 15 years ago. It started 10 years ago. Now they're announcing from Seattle, Washington to Austin, Texas, taxing people by the mile. And just magically, the black box is in your car that does it. It just magically fell into there. Two engineers just put it in there, and VW doesn't know why. And then magically, the exact same thing is on all these other car manufacturers. Gee, because it's a criminal operation at the top. And they don't commit a crime unless everyone in the combine, in the Fortune 100, commits it at the same time. And the idea is then too big to fail. That everyone's involved in the crime, so no one can go down for it, or everyone will go down. They build it as a house of cards on purpose. I forget how you pronounce it. I haven't seen it yet. I like Josh Brolin. He's got a new movie out about CIA and drug trafficking. And at the end of the movie, I've talked to three people that have seen it. They go, it's what you say. Spoiler alert. At the end of the movie, you find out the CIA runs all the drugs and is running the drug cartels, which is all admitted on record. Most of the big cartels. And they say, oh, good, you run it to stop the drugs? They go, no, we run it so we control it. So there is no organized crime. That's how we keep America safe, is we run the organized crime. Well, my dad told me that when I was 7 years old. As he was sitting there reading his Zbigniew Brzezinski book, The Technotronic Era. I read that book many years later when I was like 12 or 13. And in the book, he admits, no, the U.S. government runs all the major crime cartels that are allowed to operate inside the U.S., and Interpol runs the European ones, and that's, quote, how they control the criminal element. No, you are the criminal element. And the argument is, well, we keep it down. We keep it under control. No, you don't. You're expanding the culture of corruption. Sicario, I think that's how you pronounce it, yeah. And then, oh my gosh, Hollywood tells the truth. What a joke. That's why it had happened a long time, but cops will pull me over or something and go, got any drugs or alcohol in the car? No, no alcohol, no drugs. Really, no drugs? I'm like, no, man, I'm not using the products that the government ships in. Or the prescription drugs they push on everybody that are just as bad. But you ought to worry about the vaccines. That's the real drug to lower your IQ and implant you with all sorts of RNA and DNA. Let me guess, cop, you got some family that's got cancer. Probably some young people. Yeah, how'd you know that? Well, everybody's getting cancer now, bro. Why don't you worry about the real enemy? Well, I'm just doing my job. I know, you're just doing your job. You're the highway patrol. And look, I get there's a bunch of scum involved with drugs. But the point is, that's the low level that goes out and robs and runs the graft and runs the criminal red light districts and everything and runs the robbery, burglary operations to then feed it all back into the big banks that launder the money and then keep their hands clean. And what's crazy is what I'm saying now is just admitted fact. There isn't one police detective I've talked to, one FBI agent, one federal marshal, one retired CIA agent, officer, one person in the system I've talked to in the last 20 years that denies this. They all know it. And it's a government, it's a system based on fraud, based on coercion, based on bullying, based on thuggish behavior. And the enemy in this culture is logic. They have a former intelligence analyst came out on Breitbart, or no, it was Daily Caller, and did a big piece about how political correctness is really mind control and meant to screw people up, and meant to create division, and meant to hamstring debate, and meant to kill Renaissance from the inside. But I don't need them to tell me that. It's been declassified. That's what it is. Anybody that wants to ban father and mother and boy and girl and says it's hurtful if you're a he or a she in public schools and colleges across the country, that's now banned. That's a freakish cult of control freaks that are highly dangerous. Everywhere I see Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, all the usual suspects, Bernie Sanders, running around as fast as they can, saying, we're so sorry, Hispanics, that whites hate you and are racist. We're so sorry you're being persecuted. We're so sorry everyone's being mean to you. We're so sorry the Republicans are so horrible. A large portion of the Republicans are the ones that wrote Obamacare, the ones that won open borders. They're globalists. But they sit there with a straight face. We're so sorry you get free health care and can have your babies for free. We've got the most open borders in the world and we don't enforce on illegals. We're so sorry that everything wasn't free enough. And we're so sorry that there's billions of people that want to come here and that there's some people that just don't want to bring them all here and give them everything free. Then they've got Peter Sutherland, head of the Bilderberg Group, head United Nations Special Representative of the Secretary General for International Migration, running the assault on Europe, the same assault we have from Latin America here. And he actually says, we must take more refugees and get rid of sovereignty. And he has get over the illusion, that's a quote, of sovereignty. And he says, there is no sovereignty. And this is a guy through NATO who's imploded the Middle East and North Africa. They want to bring in 40 to 50 million radical Islamics. They've already been bringing in like 2, 3 million a year. Now they're accelerating that. Now Obama's talking about 300,000 a year. And he says it's a moral responsibility for Europeans to bring people in and to pay for it. After they lower the borders of Europe, after they implode these countries, and then they advertise, come here, everything's free, and there's a giant dash as borders collapse. And as in major cities, sometimes 100,000 illegals will just run around raping, robbing, burning. In Oktoberfest, it's in the German news, they march up and say, you can't drink beer to people at cafes. They tell women, you do not wear skirts. And the Europeans are rolling over via political correctness. They're neutralized, and they're saying, absolutely. And now in Sweden and Germany, they're taking people's houses and giving them to the radical Islamics.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
By the way, we're going to open the phones up. I forgot to mention Leo Zagami, the big Vatican insider who predicted they'd put a Jesuit pope in and specifically said it would be Pope Francis. Traveled, of course, to Rome a few months ago to interview him there. He's going to be joining us from Rome for about 30, 45 minutes in the next hour. I want to go to your phone calls on any news item, any issue, any question, any comment you have you'd like to raise. The Sunday phone number is different than the weekday phone number. It's 877-789-2539. 877-789-ALEX. That's 877-789-2539. And if you've got questions for Zagami, too, you can get on hold now if you want to talk to him as well. But I intend to start going to calls during this segment. So there is an article by William F. Jasper, the editor of the New American Magazine, who's been to basically every one of these UN conferences. He was on with us Friday, and he published this story today. Insider, EU, U.S. must take more refugees, get rid of sovereignty. Those are quotes, by the way. Peter Sutherland, the United Nations Special Representative on the Secretary General for the International Migration, is hoping and is hopping from one pulpit to the next, preaching the message that refugee tsunami proves national sovereignty is, quote, an illusion, a mere mirage that must be done away with. Moreover, says Sutherland, the United States and European Union have not merely a moral but a legal obligation to protect refugees and then to advertise they should come and everything's free. And that means, he makes it quite clear, the United States and EU are obligated to take in an unspecified quota, but potentially millions of refugees and migrants, most of them who are currently streaming out of Muslim countries of the war-decimated Middle East and Africa. And then it goes over his quotes. Notice Obama about a month ago said, we're going to take 10,000 refugees. And I said, within a week or two, it'll be 200, 300, 400,000. And it was 200 to 300,000. Now they're going, yeah, a million. And you're going to pay for it. Saudi Arabia won't take one refugee. This is so ridiculous. But this is political correctness. And then this story's up on drudgereport.com. It's one that Don Salazar did, but it links to AP video and local news. Shock video, dozens of dehydrated illegals pour out of a semi-truck in Texas. And again, we're not against these poor people. But we see the Hollywood actor, I'm going to cover this later, coming back into the United States with his wife. And they supposedly committed $5,000 of vandalism in L.A. 5 years ago. And so he's arrested and going to be extradited to California. But the illegals can create just huge amounts of crimes and not get in trouble. Randy Quaid, who said that Hollywood lawyers and others had swindled him and that they were basically killing stars after they'd robbed him. Well, I don't know if he's telling the truth. He comes off as credible. But I know the inside of Hollywood. And I know I've been told the exact same thing by some of the biggest stars out there. And Hollywood was founded by the Jewish and Italian mafia, basically. And that's who runs it today. I mean, I've been out there at the highest levels. And that's what's going on. And so he speaks out, and then magically, he's coming back into the United States, and he is snapped up and arrested in a database. They know who he is. His wife's arrested. And they're now facing all these felony charges for $5,000 in damage that they haven't been proven to have done to their house that their lawyer took over. And all I'm saying is you can pull up the numbers. Over 200,000 illegal aliens are released out of state and local jails and prisons every year. And over 50 plus thousand just this year so far have been released that were aggravated felons. Look it up for yourself. It's got to be approaching 100,000 right now. Last time I saw it, it was 50 plus thousand. A couple months into the year, it was 36,000. I mean, you can pull these numbers up. Just type in 36,000 aggravated felons released in 2015. You'll see the article from a few months ago, and you can find them just as it just ratchets up. But hundreds of thousands of criminals are released, large portions of them aggravated felons, and then the Democrats go and go, you poor things, people are being so mean to you. A true miscarriage of justice. Here's another one out of the Sun Sentinel. Cubans retire to Florida with help from U.S. taxpayers. And it says that Fidel Castro just sends people once they're ready to retire here, and then everything's free. Now, is the Sun Sentinel racist? That's not a right-wing paper, is it? I mean, Donald Trump was evil for saying we're getting milked. It's true. More Cubans are coming to Florida in their golden years, retire, able to tap U.S. government assistance, even though they never lived or worked here. They're now crossing in their 80s and 90s. I mean, this country's a joke. In China, they advertise in the newspapers. CNN's reported on this. 10,000 Chinese women a month on average, and it's growing. Land on mainly the West Coast, a week before their due date, and they have their baby, and then their husband can be brought in. And guess what? The baby's free. And then they just sit there with a straight face going, be politically correct, don't be racist, you're going to pay, it's your moral obligation, you're going to do it, 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 you're going to do it. What a cult. And then I thought of this article that was viral on Thursday and Friday that Adon Salazar wrote for Infowars.com, and people didn't believe us at first. They went and called the yoga place. It's confirmed. The left is now defending it. That's the follow-up article. No whites allowed at yoga studio in yoga class. And the reason I thought of that article to pull it up is because people are people. You can have black racists, white racists, whatever. But the left endows and injects a racial ideology into these illegals and into the, quote, minorities who are the majority in most areas to where they really have a race consciousness and an identity consciousness that hates white people. And the average white person is a trendy, vapid, shallow, self-hating, groveling, TV head-watching, limp-wristed coward who's mentally ill. I mean, you think white people are out to get you? White people are a joke of mind control in this country who will bend over to anything. And because of that, this whole country's being usurped right now. Because the white people are under cultural mind control and guilted into doing whatever the media and government says, and the minorities are being seduced in to being servants of the establishment. They believe in some type of social uprising, some type of class warfare against whitey, while offshore megabanks turn off the power and the food to the third world, and the global culling and collapse has already begun. Former head of special forces, General Stubblebine, I'm going to get him on in the next few weeks. But it was relayed to me through a top lawyer that came and visited us last week, who came through town, who represents those guys in their media operations, that they're about to announce that, and they have the intel, the collapse of the world has begun, the global culling has begun. And of course, we already know this, but this is from the inside. So, we're going to break it all down when we come back. We're going to go right to your phone calls. And then I'll get into the move to take our guns, the move to further break up our families, China helping lead the world for internet censorship, and so much more today. We'll be back. James, Jim, Jorge, and others.
The march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN radio network.
I ran into a professional lady yesterday while I was out taking care of some business. It's actually in the morning. And she talked about her and her husband and her children. And she said, you know, I had to stop listening to your show some because it's so scary. And I would go research your claims and find out they were true. But she said, then I realized you're just trying to shake people out of their trance. And that it's good to know this stuff's happening. And that's absolutely where I stand. Driving in today to do this Sunday show, I was thinking of all the news I'd read at home, all the news I knew was going to be here when I got here on my desk. And I thought, where do I start? What do I talk about? What do I get into? Because I don't want to just sit here and rattle off all the problems to people like I'm complaining. There's so much beauty in the universe. There's so much good. There's so much opportunity. We can do anything together. But there is a war on common sense. And I'm going to your calls, but later in the next hour, there is an Associated Press article, an AFP article. When you look at this, it's all like the same person wrote it. Donald Trump says sometimes he carries a gun, AFP. The revelation is likely to spark a backlash from advocates calling for tighter gun control after three separate shootings as if Donald Trump, worth $5 billion, who has Mexican drug cartels saying they want to kill him, El Chapo says, I'm going to get you. He goes out and gets a permit to carry a gun himself. He'd be crazy if he didn't. And then they act like that's alien and weird. That's almost as bad as saying mother or father. That's almost as bad as having tag. You know, they've banned that nationwide in the schools. Why? That's almost as bad as not advertising, come to America, everything's free. What's your people's problem? Don't you want higher taxes? And you find out all these people pushing it, like Peter Sutherland of the UN, is basically tax exempt. But they sit there with a straight face in all these articles going, whoa, controversial. Did you see Donald Trump? He brushed his teeth this morning. Whoa, that's weird. He put his shoes on. I'm going to tell you one crazier. I saw him have a cup of coffee. Whoa. And we all just go, yeah, that's what I mean. Did you see how discredited Ted Cruz was? Yeah. Remember this talking point about a year ago. He said Obamacare wouldn't let you keep your doctor. Boy, he's pretty discredited now because he does take your doctor. He said it would increase prices, and it did. He's pretty discredited. It's like they don't even argue intellectually. They just like act like five-year-olds going, mommy, he put his hand in the cookie jar. It's just all about the response. It's not even about what's being done. It's bizarre that this works on anyone. I mean, I read these because I saw like three articles about Trump and the gun. And they, by the second one, I went, wait a minute, this is a talking point. Man, I tell you, he's pretty discredited. He's got drug cartels saying they want to kill him. He's super rich and a major target. And he says he carries a gun to protect himself as a front-runner presidential candidate. Gee, there's no reason for him to do that. Okay, well, then if Donald Trump can't have a gun, who can have a gun? I mean, at what level do you get to have a gun? I guess when you're Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. George W. Bush got to have a gun. I mean, it just shows the discriminatory nature of this. And that's why they make everything discrimination that isn't discrimination, because they're discriminating against all of us when General Electric is exempt from taxes and Google is exempt from taxes and Apple, look it up, is exempt from taxes. And Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway are, for all intents and purposes, exempt from taxes. And then they're the biggest recipients of the banker bailout. So I don't know what we do about this, but the system is a joke. I'm going to go to your phone calls. We're going to get Zagami on at 15 after, because I need to be able to get to a bunch of these calls. And I appreciate Zagami joining us. He'll be with us the last 45. I was going to have him the first 45 of the hour, but I'm going to have him the last 45 in the next hour. Briefly, we have some of the highest quality non-GMO storable foods out there. I just think it's insurance you can eat. In these troubled times, economic uncertainty, I believe, collapse around the corner, at least in many parts of the world. Having high-quality storable foods is the way to go. We have what we call InfoWars Select, powered by Mad Patriot Supply, one of the biggest, most successful high-quality food companies out there. This stuff is super fresh. We're able to offer it even lower prices by private labeling it. It's their full spectrum, their full catalog. We just put our sticker on it, and then I can get even lower prices to dominate the market. That's just what I do. With things like Pro Pure G2, we now are the biggest distributor in the world after 4 years because we had special, you know, deals to be able to offer the lowest prices. That's just how I operate, old-fashioned free market. Well, we have 10% off on the water filters and free shipping. And then CJ came in and said, you're not reading the full plug that you came up with, the special deal you got. There's free shipping, Alex. And I went, oh, you're right. I've been plugging that all last week. It's not just 10% off. It's free shipping. Free shipping on storable food on a heavy item is just mega special. So listen, you're already getting the lowest price even when there's not a special in the industry. That's what we go after. Then you get 10% off. Then you get free shipping. That's what we're offering. InfoWarsStore.com or call toll free 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. We can answer all your questions. And they got the full catalog of My Patriot there. And then we got the full catalog of InfoWars Select right beside it. You can just see it's lower. It's the exact same food, exact same people. It's a great deal with my Patriot. We drop ship it. Your purchase supports the broadcast. InfoWarsLife.com. The system wants to make you dependent. Don't be dependent. Firearms, water filters, storable food, and then politically be involved to try to save the country, save the energy systems, save the infrastructure that's being shut off. But I'll be quite frank with you. We're winning the info war. Folks are waking up, but the globalists are in charge, and they don't care. And they're putting us basically financially to death right now. So it's the best of times, worst of times. We're going to get into the big move to get our guns coming up. But right now, let's go to your phone calls. Thank you for holding. James in New York City, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how are you? James from New York City.
Welcome.
I have a couple questions for you. You there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. Donald Trump, is he the real deal? The other question is a New World Order, but if you can answer that first for me, with Donald Trump.
I have to judge a tree by its fruits, and I think he's a politician. I think he's very slick. I like him as a person. He's very Americana. I don't completely trust him, but it doesn't matter. The rhetoric he's putting out is what the rest of the Republicans wouldn't do, that's popular, that's true. So I support his message, and I think he might be a big enough egomaniac, and I mean that in a positive way. That's what it takes to lead sometimes, that he may want to be president instead of just being a shill for Hillary. I know he's been in deep with the Clintons, but I just have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But regardless, he's now the tip of the spear for what I'd call the Tea Party. And so they want to destroy him in name to try to hurt us. So we have to defend Trump while he's telling the truth, while letting him know we're watching him very closely. So I think that's the balanced approach to this. What do you think?
I agree. I'm a libertarian. Been listening to your show for 10 years. I'm a first-time caller. So I he kind of pushes me in that direction to want to vote for him. But I do feel worried, you know.
Sure. I mean, he's got some problems in his past. But, I mean, I had different views 10, 15 years ago to a certain extent. So, look, they attacked him. They thought it would work. It backfired on him. He's now the leader of the race. And he's bringing up real issues. And he's got a lot of Democrats supporting him because they're not suicidal. So I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you, James. Great question. Jim in Georgia, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Go ahead.
Awesome. Well, I'm a huge supporter of InfoWars.com. Love all the new members, the team. Love them. We left Plato's cave.
So, sure, your phone is real low. I'm having trouble making out what you're saying.
Okay, just 1 second, please. Because if I have to take myself off the headset, I will.
Okay. Yeah, as a rule, headsets, speaker phones probably aren't the best system. And all I ask you, yeah, go ahead, sir. I'm going to have to put you on hold. I tell you what, we're gonna work on that phone line with you. We'll crank up the outro music, and we're going to come back and continue with your phone calls straight ahead. You know, we screen these calls just to make sure there's good audio, not for your content, and then people get on the air, and it sounds like hammered hell. And I just can't handle it. All right, we'll be right back with the second hour as we try to alert humanity to what's happening. And I'm also going to talk about why we're in so much trouble. I mean, there's one simple reason straight ahead.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're taking your phone calls ahead of Leo Zagami joining us. I wanted to get him on from Rome because the Pope said the biggest threat to the Vatican is, quote, conspiracy theorists. That means people that actually dig into things and investigate how stuff works. Let's go to Jorge in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. Thanks for calling on this Sunday. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, Alex? I know you don't like to be thanked, but it's not all about you. I'm a thank you, man. Hey, listen, man, I got several points. The first one on Anchor Babies. Look, man, I get your point. I listen to you on a daily, man. It's a hobby of mine. So look, we're not responsible for where we were born, man. We are a portion, a sizable portion of your listeners, man. You got to understand that.
No, I hear you. I mean, if you're saying you're Hispanic, I don't see it as I'm saying the globalists are imploding the third world and are going to use giant masses of people. I'm not against the 10,000 Chinese women that fly in every month to have their babies for free. The incentive needs to be gotten rid of because the country is going to collapse, which is what the big banks want to do. And the Democrats are making it like a personal thing that if someone doesn't want to pay for people to come into the country, that we hate someone. Meanwhile, the Democrats, as you know, if you're a regular listener, they're the ones pushing Gardasil on everybody's daughters. You see what I'm saying?
If people want to sit down and change the law, change the rule, I get that. Okay. But there's people out there actually wanting to strip the citizenship of people born here. You gotta know that I'm not pointing my finger at you, obviously. But look, I'm gonna use your comments on your website for example. Your own listeners want to turn us against them.
There's a bunch of bots and a bunch of racists on both sides or all sides doing stuff. I totally agree with you. I mean, the internet's just full of lowest common denominators. People can do it anonymously and very cowardly. And so I get what you're saying. Here's the issue. I can humanize the refugees pouring in from the Middle East, Latin America, Asia, and I can individually care about them. And I do. I don't want you eating GMO. I don't want you getting shot up with deadly vaccines. I don't want your babies being aborted. I don't want them building Planned Parenthoods in the Hispanic areas or anybody other's areas. I see all children as the same. But as an intellectual geopolitical fact, the globalists want open borders to smash national sovereignty because once national sovereignty is gone, no one can oppose the planetary directive. And the planetary directive will be the mass forced culling of third world populations. Do you get what I'm saying, brother?
I get exactly what you're saying. I'm trying to further this conversation, man. Look, one more thing. Look, man, we helped you raise $1 million, man. The least you can do is give the fourth hour to the people, man. Have like a sign-up sheet, and we can submit our videos, and you can give us a platform through that if you say
that's
that.
Actually a great idea. If I had the crew to manage that and who I would put on, we probably should do an electronic soapbox where it's like I have a cattle prod hooked to me, and if I don't go to a caller each 2 minutes to let them talk, then, you know, a cattle prod hits me. To just take like 100 calls, you know, a show or something. That is a fun thing to do, and I hear you. That's what we're trying to do. And if people send us good YouTube videos or good articles, we'll post them at Infowars.com. God bless you. I really appreciate your call. Look, Jorge, the media makes it that it's anti-Hispanic if people don't want open borders. It's not anti-Hispanic in Mexico that they have draconian laws against Guatemalans, Nicaraguans, San Salvador, all that. I mean, I don't actually agree with Mexico. 1 year forced labor if they catch it illegal. I just say deport them. But in Mexico, even the New York Times admits they have some of the most draconian immigration laws in the world. Well, Mexico has to. I mean, it's got countries even worse off south of it. So, I mean, Mexico's got borders. Why can't we? The media has turned it around in mind control and identity politics to hurt you.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Go to John in Canada, John in Florida, O'Brien, Mark, and many others here in just a moment. Leo Zagami joining us from Rome in the early morning hours over there. I guess it's probably like 3 in the morning. Will be joining us starting in the next segment as well. Here's NBC News. Bernie Sanders talks gun control, calls for assault weapons ban. That ban all semi-auto firearms. And Obama promises executive orders to, quote, circumvent Congress to restrict guns. That's called dictatorship when the president circumvents Congress and law because Congress won't do what he wants. Meanwhile, they're freaking out over Donald Trump saying he has a concealed carry. They went and looked it up. He said, yeah, I carry a gun sometimes. I'm a target. And they went, oh, my gosh, how terrible that you have a gun. All this faux outrage. Meanwhile, the Environmental Protection Agency spends millions more on military-style weapons, watchdog group warns. So these federal agencies have bought 3 million bullets. Every agency out there you can name is arming to the teeth and getting armored vehicles. But that's okay for them, though. Just not us. Tennessee gun shops offering discount to Christians. If Christians are going to be targeted, we need to protect ourselves. Absolutely. That's from WNCN Television. So folks really get what's happening, and it's not working for the establishment right now. Let's go to your phone calls. Let's talk to John in Canada. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Alex, you got me loud and clear?
I sure do. Go ahead. Welcome.
Well, I want to say one thing about gun control in Canada. All you got to do is look at gun control in Canada. You can actually see where people's intentions don't lie. For example, there's a case by the name of Bruce Montague. He's a gunsmith who launched a constitutional challenge against C-68. That's a gun control bill. And he went to court, got found guilty, did 6 months in jail, and our vindictive liberal government at the time basically decided, well, you know what? Since you're guilty, we're going to take your house under the proceeds of law bill.
That's right. They used an asset forfeiture seizure. There's, for those that don't know, what, about 15 years ago, 14 years ago, they registered your guns. Then within 3 years, they began banning whole classes. And then they would SWAT team the most innocent people who didn't even know that their gun had been retroactively made illegal. And then they would take their houses as well. And it seemed the more upstanding, no criminal record people, they would relish putting them under the jail. It's truly sick. Go ahead.
Yeah. The other thing I want to bring to light is Corporal Cirillo. He's the Canadian Force member who died at the National War Memorial. I've left the military. I've done my 21 years of service.
He was the guy killed by a jihadi.
Yeah. Well, that was a whack job nonetheless. But I said, you know, at least the guy should have had some live ammunition with him because he could have reacted. The reports come out, he got shot in the back running away, finding cover. And people who I respect and serve with, no, you can't have that. That's like having armed troops in the street. This is no, not quite. What's your view on that?
Well, by the way, you've had armed troops during the Olympics from the U.S. there. So they militarize your police, but then say at federal buildings, you can't have armed troops. Well, you should have armed troops at something like your Capitol or something like, you know, our White House. There's armed Marines there. And so that's just ridiculous that you don't have armed troops around the president or around your prime minister. Just like Donald Trump's a billionaire. Donald Trump has enemies. He should be able to have a gun. He went and got a permit for it. He shouldn't have to get a permit. But there, again, all this outrage that, can you believe he has a gun? Oh, my gosh. But then government can have guns. And then it gets extended to like, oh, but the troops, you know, the recruiting centers, they can't have guns. And the military bases, they took the guns off the military bases in the 90s under Clinton. There have been some restrictions before. And it makes them sitting ducks. So I absolutely agree with you. It's time to rearm the military bases. It's time to arm the recruiting centers. And at your capital, there in Ottawa, of course you should have the guys guarding the front doors should have live ammo. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. Go ahead.
The other thing is, I was in Kanata when you were there, and I had the opportunity to shake their hand. I'm kind of kicking myself in the butt for not doing it at the time.
Well, God bless you, brother. Good to hear from you. I appreciate you calling, John. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Let's go ahead and talk to Mark in San Jose, California. Mark, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, I gave your Springer Doug Millar's telephone number, and he'll make a real good interview. This guy is a certified hero, and I would really
I've heard that name. You say Doug Millar?
Yes, he was arrested in Bohemian Grove, and he went around the devil-worshipping, murderous pedophile Michael Aquino's house there in San Francisco, passed out a couple hundred flyers telling his neighbors who Michael Aquino really is, And he's worked with Senator John DeCamp for about 25 years there. You've interviewed John. John sadly has Alzheimer's and isn't quite as fast. He's pretty fast, but not quite as fast on his feet. So Doug Millar would make a great...
Okay, but listen, we're not having a... I'm not mad at you, but we're kind of having an inside baseball private discussion here. So it's okay, but kind of present it like you're talking to the public. You're talking about one of these secret occult centers where they do rituals and things, and Aquino is the head of the Church of Set and also high-level Pentagon official. I don't think he's ever been convicted of the things you just said he did, so I think we need to be clear that hasn't been documented. I'm not trying to get in a fight with you here. Just want to be specific because we can get sued. What specifically are you calling in about, Mark?
Well, about the interview with Doug Millar, because believe me, I know Doug. He's been over my house.
I'm sure he's a great guy. So specifically, you want me to look at interviewing him?
Absolutely. That's what I want. I definitely want that, Alex, and I will. I swear to you, the most...
Okay, because it says you called in about Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I'd also like to talk about that.
Yeah, you're on air. Go ahead.
You're the only guy I know that has the courage to interview Officer Don Browning and Officer Craig Roberts. Sadly, you couldn't interview Terrence Yakey there. All these policemen were working in Oklahoma City April 19th, 1995.
Saw the feds blow the building up, and the feds came and threatened to kill them if they didn't shut up. And they've named the feds by name on this show. And they went and tortured and killed a cop of the year, Terrence Yakey, who witnessed it all. And I've had the multiple witnesses that were inside the building who named the feds that were there planting the bombs. They'd ask them, what are you doing? We're doing telephone repair work with big gray sticks of butter, C4, planting it. Yep, we know all who did it. We have FBI agents that saw the surveillance tapes, and they know it's true, and they've told the LA Times who they saw there. This stuff's all come out. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, that the Clintons bombed that building.
And I'm calling on Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levine, Brian Sussman, Barbara Simpson, and Katie at the morning show there on KSFO 560. She'd make a really good interview of those cops. And just follow the leader, okay? Just be humble. Alex Jones is the leader. He is the best. He's nobody important, but he's better than you are. And so follow his lead. Thank you very much.
Well, God bless you. And I wasn't trying to be rude with you, brother. It's just sometimes these callers call like they're talking to me off air. And then I know the average listener's like, what's this guy even talking about? Because I've got a strain to figure out what they're talking about. So I know the general public isn't catching, you know, on to what's being discussed. I want you to be effective. I want people to hear what you have to say. Yes, I don't like having to interview police officers who name FBI agents who threaten to kill them and their wives if they didn't shut up about what they saw at Oklahoma City. I don't like exposing the Southern Poverty Law Center, basically ran Elohim City and a lot of the operation. I don't like going up against the White House. I don't like being on their enemies list. I don't like being, but I've got a responsibility. I'm going to do it. I don't want to be the leader of the libertarian conservative movement because I'm so hardcore. I have to. I just cannot get up here and not tell you the truth about government drug dealing, government white slavery, government snuff films, trafficking in children. I mean, you name it, the people that run our government are pure evil, just like the baby part sales, just like all the rest of the stuff that's coming out now. We really are in trouble, and we've got to admit it to ourselves. I mean, I should probably have Don Browning and all those folks back on, those police officers and what they saw. I mean, but we're talking about Hillary Clinton being president here, and let me tell you, they were on the watch when the feds did that. I mean, the feds did OKC, open and shut.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, last Tuesday, we learned that a week before that, in the Italian papers and also in AFP, Reuters, you name it, that the Pope had a secret meeting with the bishops and the cardinals about the main threat, quote, to the church. And, of course, what he meant was the threat by people in the church and without the church who don't want to see it turned into a New World Order operation. He means the threat to the counter-revolution to kick the globalists that have blackmailed the Vatican into accepting a Jesuit pope, into accepting a pope that promotes socialism and communism and open borders and carbon taxes and world government. And the Pope has come out and said that the main threat, and he warned against conspiracy theories of Vatican skullduggery, is the headline from AFP. We can put that up on screen for folks. And so as soon as I saw this, I thought, we've got to get Leo Zagami on, because to have this pope basically saying the opposite of what Pope John Paul II said or what the previous pope said, you can criticize the Vatican all day long. I'm not Catholic. I'm just a Christian. I have a lot of Catholic friends. And there was a lot of criticism of the church over the years, and I wouldn't join in on it because the Catholic Church was pro-life and anti-communist. But now you can really say that the pope is promoting the globalist agenda, hands down. And the fact that they would have a secret meeting, it actually admits in the news that it was a private meeting, and then he warned them against conspiratorial thinking. So see, they don't want anybody talking about what's even been in the New York Times, the London Guardian, that the church was blackmailed 3 years ago when Ratzinger left and went to Castle Gandalf. And I'm not joking. That's not a Lord of the Rings joke. The castle's called Gandalf. And so you now got two popes, basically. First time ever. And you've got all this weirdness going on. You got the left, suddenly, that wanted to demonize the Catholic Church, suddenly worshiping it. What's changed? What's happened? But we know there's a big conservative pushback in the church. He's demoted a lot of people that aren't playing ball. So there is definitely a civil war going on over the future of the Catholic Church. Joining us is Leo Zagami from Rome, in the middle of the night over there. What time is it, Leo? Your time, Rome?
Well, it's nearly 12:30. Hello, everybody.
Well, thank you for joining us, my friend. You, again, for those that just joined us, predicted, you've written the best-selling book, The Last Pope. You've written other books, written, I guess, 9-10 books. You've been part of some of the Vatican secret societies. You began blowing the whistle a decade ago because you thought the societies were for good. You realized that it was, had been taken over and was for bad. So just recapping that, how big a deal is it that the Pope's having secret meetings with the leadership of the church saying, don't think about conspiracies? And that's what Obama says, is what they all say. Conspiracy theorists are such jokes, but they're all meeting in secret saying, oh my gosh, we're being questioned. I mean, isn't that all a conspiracy theory is questioning these people and admitting they have motives and admitting there's different groups and organizations? Why is the Pope so scared of this? And what does this signify, Leo Zagami?
Well, the exact words have been reported by Father Lombardi, who is the official spokesman of the Vatican, who is another Jesuit. The hermeneutics of conspiracy, meaning the interpretation of conspiracy. Usually this is a phrase used to interpret some abstruse text. But in this case, Pope Francis is really warning his bishops because he's afraid that people like me or other people like you who have given finally the possibility to people to know the truth about what's going on behind closed doors in the Vatican are influencing in some way the synod. Because writing what I wrote a week ago on InfoWars regarding the coming out of Father Caramsa and actually stating that the lobby gay was behind it, this stirred up a lot of trouble because a lot of media are reporting this now, this reality of the lobby gay. Such is it that Father Caramsa came out today on the Italian TV saying...
Talk about a cliffhanger. Our Skype from Rome just froze up. Hold on, Leo, while your Skype clears back up. For those that don't know, there is a pedophile lobby in the Vatican. There is then a gay lobby in the Vatican, and Zagami says those are two separate groups, and it's been admitted those groups are there. Then you've got a conservative lobby, and then you've got the Jesuits that just basically try to run every group, every organization, and have full-spectrum dominance that way. And they admit, mainstream news, you can just type in Vatican blackmailed into new pope. And they were blackmailed. They were told, you step down or the media is going to bring all this out and the cover-up. Now the cover-up's okay. Now Pope Francis can have one of the chief, you know, disgraced bishops, you know, at the event in Philadelphia, and that's okay. Because the church has done what it's told and gone into the New World Order. Is that accurate to say?
is something even much more that is happening these days in Rome. What, once I'm going to tell you what's happening now in that synod of bishops, you will be outraged. I mean, there is, first of all, I have discovered who was manipulating this whole coming out of Father Caramsa. And he is called Emilio Sturla Turno, with an organization that you can go and check on the internet. It's called the Rainbow Organization of Catholics. This Rainbow Organization of Catholics had organized, just before the synod opening, a conference called Ways of Love, Snapshots of Catholic Encounters with LGBT, which is lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons and their families. Now, in this conference, there has been a bishop, a Mexican bishop called Jose Raul Vera Lopez, who said these words, "The gay will save the church." This was said by the Bishop of Saltillo in Mexico, said during the conference, "The gay will save the church." I mean, this is outrageous. And not only this, in the synod, in front of the Pope, another bishop from another town in Italy instead, called Foggia, this guy said that the gays will bring only richness to the church. So basically, there is a whole organization that has been lobbying the synod, and they actually have their own websites, and they are all controlled by, of course, by Jesuits. And one of the most important Jesuits in the U.S. to take care of all this is called Robert Spitzer. Have you ever heard of this guy, Alex?
Yes, I've heard about him from you.
He's been on CNN many times, on the History Channel, many other media. He's the responsible for the university, Jesuit universities in the U.S., and he has been behind another conference that took place on Friday, October the 2nd, in which the more moderate side of the gay lobby, the so-called caste side of the gay lobby, kind of opposed what the rainbow side is saying. The rainbow side is basically the stronger side in the gay lobby. These days, they are saying they want complete openness. So the church has to become openly involved with the homosexual activities in the clergy, accepting them. And all this is sponsored by organizations that you can find on the internet, created by the Catholic Church, like NAPA or Courage. And as I said, I invite your viewers to go and check these websites.
Leo Zagami, stay there. Long segment coming up. I want to give the number out for folks have any questions or comments for you specifically on what's happening in the Catholic Church, 877-789-ALEX. Stay with us. Leo Zagami is our guest. We'll be back. I see your hair is burning. Hills are filled with fire. If they say I never loved you.
He aligns himself with the truth. And it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning.
Oh, I got to crank that up a little bit.
Hills are filled with fire.
If they say I never loved you.
If they say I never loved you.
You know they are a liar.
You know they are a liar.
Riding down your freeway. Song.
Midnight alleys roam.
Cops and cars.
Cops and cars, the topless cars. Never saw a woman.
So alone.
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 Motel money.
Motel money.
Murder madness. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Leo Zagami is our guest. We got lots of phone calls for him. Again, the toll-free number is 877-789-ALEX. I'm going to be honest with everybody because that's all I can do. And as older I get, the more flat-out I get. I am a libertarian at heart. I also am, you know, somebody that grew up in modern times. I've studied history. I don't dislike, quote, gay people. And I'll even use their politically correct term if they want to take over the language and say that's what it is. Heterosexual, homosexual, whatever. But the left and its culture war and political correctness is using this to break up the family. And they have used pedophilia and then the gay lobby and blackmail to basically take over the Catholic Church. And they've had gay lobbies before, and Rome's declined before, and other civilizations. This is what happens before the collapse. And the New Yorker magazine has reported on it. London Guardian's reported on it. This is about taking over an organization that a billion people follow, that has trillions and trillions of dollars, 177 million acres. This is how the intrigue works. This is blackmail. And the gay lobby, you know, doesn't have children. It doesn't any of that stuff. It just gives political contributions. It's all about power. It's leftist, and it's taking everything over. So I don't have to sit here and say, look, I don't hate people that are this way, because most people involved in that obviously aren't part of this. But the leadership of it and who speaks for you is really bad news and is trying to conquer civilization. And it is political. It's very dark. It's very destructive. Now, Leo Zagami, I know we've gone off of the fact that this is the takeover of the church, but I wanted to get you on how big a deal it is that the Pope comes out and says, the big threat is people questioning us, investigating us, talking about blackmail, talking about secret groups. I mean, really, that begs the question, methinks you protest too much. This really shows that they want to call questioning authority a conspiracy theory. That doesn't work anymore. So how is it going for Pope Francis? Is it going well? Is it going bad? What's the next big shoe to drop?
I'm giving you a word scoop. You are about to hear a word scoop. The Pope will resign next year after his visit to Argentina.
Okay, that's big, because 2 years before the scandal started 5 years ago, you said a Jesuit Pope would take over and mentioned two men, one of them this Pope, and said they'd use the pedophile scandal to take over. That then came out in mainstream news. So you've been proven right many times. You're saying world scoop. Are you predicting this from the tea leaves, or do you have inside sources?
No. This is inside sources, two different inside sources. One from the Secretary of State of the Vatican, the other one from the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre, saying that the Pope will use the visit to his home place, I mean, Argentina, to make a in a way preparing the way for his coming back to Argentina, because apparently he doesn't want to reside after in Castel Gandolf or in the Vatican. He wants to simply retire in Argentina. That's what is being said.
And as you said 5 years ago when you wrote a separate book, they want to set it where a pope doesn't come in and then die. It's a political post so they can jockey and put different people in all the time, have two popes, then move the pope to be a council of popes. I mean, explain why they want to do that.
Well, there is a big work going on here between the Jesuit and the Zionist lobby and the gay lobby. In fact, this Emilio Sturla Turno, who took care of the coming out of Father Karamsa, he actually, his homosexual lover, is an Israeli intelligence asset. So the lobby gay works together with the Israeli intelligence and the Jesuits in this coming out of the gay lobby in the church. And all this, of course, is being fought by some conservatives. Imagine this. The Cardinal of Riga in Lithuania went in front of the Lithuanian parliament and said, Janis Francis Pujat, this cardinal, said, basically, we were better off with Hitler and Stalin because the European Union is supporting sodomites, and they are a bunch of sodomites. This is what a Catholic cardinal just said yesterday, Janis Francis Pujat. So, I mean, there is also some conservative...
Well, this is bombshell, Leo Zagami, because, you know, you're famous in Italy, you're famous in Europe, for folks that don't know, best-selling author, you're on national television there, you're highly respected, you do have inside sources to the Vatican, you have predicted everything that's happened when no one else was doing it. I mean, you really have a lot of credibility here. And you've been part of, you know, some of these high-level secret societies. You're saying, you have been told from high level in the Vatican that the Pope will resign next year. This is bombshell. You've really stuck your neck out here. Flesh that out more, exactly what you were told.
I was said that during his visit that he will do next year in South America, which will include, I think, Chile, Argentina, and Peru, he will basically, this will happen approximately in July of next year, but I mean, just when he goes to Argentina, which as we know, he comes from there, he will announce that he will resign. So, I mean, this has been confirmed by two different sources within the Vatican. I went especially to Rome to hear in closed doors what they had to say to me. I believe these sources are credible because one is a personal knight of the Pope. The other one works together with the I mean, I think that this information is pretty correct. It seems like when I asked them why is the Pope resigning, he said he has accomplished his mission for the New World Order. From 2016, the New World Order at that point is already in a process, you know, is already launched itself with 2030, with the whole thing we have seen, just with the Pope going to the US and everything else. So it seems like he has done his job and then he wants to retire. That, I mean, it's very hard for him. We saw how fatigued he was when he was in Philadelphia. I mean, he was really going along with this leg, very much in pain. So he's really working for the New World Order until he is capable, and then he will.
Because
decide.
It's about removing the power of the Pope and the Catholic Church. Yes. It's about whether it was good or bad. It's about seeding it out to the globalists, bringing it down, breaking it down, breaking its will, using different cults, different secret groups to take it over. Clearly, that's what's happened, and it's here. And so the headline on this video, this should be a big article tomorrow, and I guess you're going to probably write one, Leo. We'll post it at Infowars.com. We'll publish it. The Pope will resign in 2016. That's the headline?
Well, if it goes to Argentina, because the problem is that they're trying to fix this trip in Argentina, is almost certain, almost, I mean, is even on the Wikipedia already about his pastoral trips for next year. If that is confirmed, we can say for sure that he will announce his resignation when he visits his hometown in Argentina.
Wow. Wow. So, insider, the Pope to resign next year on visit. That is amazing. And we will continue to break that down. I want to come back in the final segment, take a few calls for you. But the time we have left here before we go to break, when we come back, I want you to answer this question. Break down, just in 30 seconds, what the 2030 plan is. And now, since the world government is openly announced, where that's going when we come back with Leo Zagami, best-selling author of the book, The Last Pope. You can see our interview with him in Rome on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Because for whatever reason, you know, 100% the Catholic Church is now under the control of the multinational corporations and now does the bidding of the one world government. Lewis, Stephen, we're going to your calls here in just a moment.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
You know, if the conspiracy theorists, that's just people that do research and question the establishment, are such a big joke, why is Hillary, Obama, the Pope constantly criticizing the people that, you know, it's a conspiracy theory that I want your guns, Obama said. That's why I'm going to try to ban a bunch of them. So they just play this game. But the truth is, people are listening all over the world. They know what's going on. And this Pope is saying stuff 150 degrees, not 180, but close to the opposite of what previous popes said. And so something's going on here. First thing he said when he got in 2.5 years ago was, Catholics obsess too much on abortion. I went and looked it up, and he actually said it. So I want to take 3 or 4 phone calls here from Mike, Lewis, Stephen, and others. Leo Zagami finishing up, though. Clearly, world government's being announced. Everything we've talked about for decades is now just pretty much admitted. So I don't see how they segue from denying all this to now just admitting it all, but still saying we're discredited when we're not. Now that they've got their world government basically openly launching, the TPP in place, all of it, what's the next shoe to drop?
What they are planning is being done, first of all, in secret meetings that take place in basically the birthplace, the place where we have the most holy saint for the Catholic Church, Saint Francis. It's in Assisi, that the UN meetings, the real UN meetings, go on. And it's in Assisi that in 1961, for the first time, they presented the rainbow flag that later on in 1978 will become then the gay rainbow flag. But, I mean, we don't have anything against the gay people, like you said. I mean, myself, I have a lot of gay friends. But what we are saying here is hypocrisy and lobbyism. And of course, their agenda is to destroy the family values, make everything that is normal not normal anymore. They are promoting things that are against nature.
Well, sure, that's the thing. I mean, they're saying you can't say mother and father and actually banning it. They want to ban us.
Yes, and I mean, even on Italian TV, which is used to be quite Catholic, the main channels are now transmitting lesbian TV series and imposing their trans. Everything is really completely outrageous. What's happening also with the synod of the families? I mean, a synod of the families that ends up being a synod on the gay rights of the priests in the Catholic Church.
That's right. The Catholic Church has its big family conferences, and then it's all about gays.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just the takeover of society. It's crazy.
And at the same time, you have to understand that the Jesuits are planning behind closed doors things that are much more delicate, like, for example, the insurgency and what's happening in Turkey at the moment. They are directly involved in what's happening in Turkey at the moment. What's happening with that terrorist attack? Well, I mean, forget the whole PKK thing. I mean, what they have done there, if you want, I can explain it to you. It's manipulated by the ISIS. Basically, it's been attacked by the Kurds. And so to revenge that, the ISIS, we know who is behind ISIS, they had to attack this peaceful
rally. And now they blame it on the Kurds.
And they blame it, of course, after on the Kurds. But
sure, that's clearly people, what's happening in Turkey.
But what people don't know is the intelligence agency in Turkey is now controlled by Fethullah Gulen, who is an henchman, an agent of the Jesuits, who wrote a book where his preview was made by Thomas Michel, who is a Jesuit. So they are quite open, the Jesuits, about taking over also Islam with the whole Chrislam thing.
Oh, we got to go to calls. Absolutely. It's just crazy. Clearly, the EU, the Vatican, radical Islam, it's all combined now to bring in the world government. And it is so just over the top. Mike in South Carolina, you're on the air with Leo Zagami. Go ahead.
Hello, I can't hear anybody.
Okay, we're on the air, brother. Go ahead.
I apologize. Sorry. Okay, I just had two quick questions, if I may, to ask of Leo. I'm Catholic, but I'm more of the kind to listen to Bishop Richard Williamson or Father Paul Kramer than listen to Jorge Bergoglio. I just wanted to ask Leo, if he's ever heard of the claim by Father Malachi Martin about the enthronement of the fallen angel Lucifer ceremony that took place inside one of the chapels in 1963 in the Vatican. If he has, is that valid?
Interesting question, Mike. Go ahead.
Yes, I would say that the work that Father Malachi did himself, he was a Jesuit. Let's not forget that. And he was very close to the Israeli Mossad. But definitely, he brought for the first time out certain truths about Satanism in the Vatican. And the ritually described, unfortunately, is true.
Well, and Mike, I wasn't trying to be rude. I'm just, this phone system, people don't hear when we go to them, and it annoys me. It's not you I'm annoyed with. Anything else you wanted to ask, Mike?
The only other thing I want to ask him, and he probably has, Leo, Antonio Socci's book, Nona Francisco, have you heard of that?
Sure.
Okay.
Socci focuses on the validity of the election of Francis, stating that at the fifth election, basically, there was one vote extra that shouldn't have been there. So basically, Pope Francis is not legally or even by the canon law of the Vatican, the Pope. He's just a figure because the elections are not valid. And this is true.
Plus, how do you have two popes? I appreciate your call, Mike. Lewis in Chicago, you're on the air with Leo Zagami and Alex Jones.
There's two prophecies regarding the papacy and the pope that the church has placed a lot of credibility in. That's the third secret of Fatima, which Pope John Paul II himself revealed and put credibility in 1999, and also the prophecies of St. Malachi, who was an Irish bishop in the 11th century, and this is the last pope on his list of popes. And I'm wondering if your guests can comment on these two prophecies, how they might relate to what's going on today.
That's right. I mean, I've studied this. Aren't there a lot of prophecies saying this was going to happen and now it's happening? I mean, is that the elite following those as a script or is it real?
Absolutely. What was said in Fatima is very important because then it also connected with the attempted murder of John Paul II by Ali Akcha. And Ali Akcha himself said that a massive attack, probably even a nuclear attack, will be done in 2017 when the Fatima appearance will celebrate 100 years. Right in May 2017, there should be this terrorist attack to the Vatican, which is quite credible. I mean, Ali Akcha himself was armed but of course he was armed not knowing who were his real handlers. And in the end, when he understood, he was really a bit shocked himself because apparently his real handlers came from inside the Vatican.
Wow. Okay, Louis, great question. Stephen in Austin, Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead, Stephen.
Alex, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And I wanted to give you a quick thank you, but a little different one than you're probably used to. Thanks for taking time away from your family to do this on Sundays. I love listening to your show during the week and the Sunday shows.
Well, thanks for putting up with me, brother. You're awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and more importantly, thanks to your wife for being taking care of the home front so that you can be out here doing this, because we all become dependent upon the information you provide.
Thank you, brother.
Real quick on that. Hey, secondly, by the way, Leo by far has the coolest accent of anybody on your show, so just hands down. Hey, quick question from just a common sense Christian perspective for you, Leo. Yes. I'm not Catholic. I'm Protestant, Lutheran in particular, and I'd be very curious what Martin Luther would think today of the shenanigans going on in the world. But all things being equal, with Francis and previous popes, et cetera, none of them are perfect. We all know that. They're all human, as we all are. But it seems like the goods outweigh the bads. And it does seem like in the world we live in, where there's just such gluttony and selfishness and, you know, immediate need for return on investment and the sense of entitlement, it does seem like the Catholic Church does still stand as a bastion of following the teachings of Christ. And so I guess my question is, do you think he's a willful idiot or just a naive pawn? It does seem
sure,
like...
Sure, does he believe in the socialism he spouts?
Exactly. So I'd be very curious what Leo's thought is.
Great question. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for the kind words. I'm humbled by the great audience. God bless you. Go ahead, Leo.
First of all, I will question the fact he's a Lutheran because he talked more like a Catholic. I mean, it's okay that... Because in fact, Lutero has even a square now named in his name, thanks to the Vatican in Rome. So there is no Protestantism anymore. Everything is controlled by the Jesuits. And I think that what they are doing is just a nice show. Don't fall for what they're saying. The teachings of Christ are not reflected in this church. And this is clear by their actions more than by their words.
Well, look... the stuff being taught by a lot of Protestant churches is even worse. I mean, I'm not picking on Catholics here. Clearly, though, this Pope's getting behind world government. This Pope's pushing austerity.
One thing is what you say, and one thing is what you do. I mean, this Pope is an actor. And I mean, what he says is, of course, very pleasing.
Sure. Leo, we're out of time. Thank you for staying up late in Rome. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow, folks, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. Actually, to 3 p.m. now. We added a fourth hour with the radio broadcast. God bless you all. We're just here to try to expose the world government being formed.